Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. As always, it's a pleasure to be able to join you as this week we look at the Mass readings for the solemnity. Yes, that's right. It's a solemnity of Christ the King. This is a big deal today as we celebrate the final Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday, you got it, we are in Advent. But I love the way the church does this. This solemnity of Christ the King has been moved. It used to be, I don't remember when it was, maybe in October at one time. It wasn't the last Sunday of the liturgical year, but the church moved it several years ago. So now we end the church year in a big way by looking at Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And I'm going to call this show today a different kind of king. And when we look at these readings, and as is always the case for solemnities, or days that are not part of ordinary time, I mean, we'll see this during the Easter season, during the Christmas season, during Lent, during Advent. The readings are all chosen by the church, all put together. We're not going sequentially anymore. Each of these readings is chosen for a specific purpose. So every reading today, the first reading, the responsorial psalm, the second reading, and the gospel, are all designed to help us better understand Jesus Christ in his role as King. This is always, it's an interesting show. It's a interesting in the sense that it's a tough show for me to do, because when I look at these readings, I'm always reminded, and I think this is a healthy thing, of the question, is Jesus Christ really my King? And, you know, I'm going to throw that out there to you as well. Is he really my King? Do I obey Jesus? Does everything in my life, every decision I make, everything I do, everything I think, do I submit to Jesus Christ as my King? A lot of times, I have to be honest with you, the answer is no. But I think this is a great solemnity. This is a great occasion for us to look at Christ, and it's certainly a different kind of kingship, not one that we're used to, and better understand the nature of how Jesus reigns. It appears when you look at Calvary and his death on the cross that he was anything but a king. He looked like a failure. But, you know, through faith and by the teachings of our church, we understand that he did not fail. He allowed this to take place because in doing so, he fulfilled the will of the Father and he achieved the ultimate victory. He redeemed you and I. So what appears to be a failure was actually a sign of Jesus reigning, but he didn't reign from a throne, he reigned from a cross. Totally crazy, right? I mean, in our world, we have a hard time with that. But if we can learn to accept that, we can find such peace in the midst of our own personal struggle. So we will talk about that today. The readings are not exceptionally long, which always makes it easier for me on this program. If they're a little longer, it's more difficult. So we'll have more time to unpack them because they're relatively short. But the message is incredibly powerful. And I think it's a good lead-in for the beginning of Advent next week. So why don't we pray right now? We'll talk a little bit about what's coming in the next few weeks, and then we'll get into the show. So if you would please join me, let's place ourselves in the presence of our Heavenly Father and turn to him as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your presence. Father, we thank you for creating us. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, into the world to redeem us on the cross. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us throughout our lives, some of which we don't understand, some of which we may have ignored. But we realize, Father, through faith, that you only want what's best for us, and that your main concern is getting us to heaven. You don't just want us to be comfortable in this life. You want us to be happy with you forever in heaven. Oh, Father, that's so easy to forget. I do it all the time. Help us to remember the importance of walking with your Son Jesus, of following him, of obeying his teachings. Father, we lift up our friends, our families, those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for people around the world who struggle with poverty, with homelessness, those who are dealing with natural disasters, weather-related conditions. We pray for our church. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for all those who are searching for you, Father, who don't know you, who don't know your Son. We pray for those souls who might be in danger of being lost. We know you don't want that. I pray, Father, that you'll send your Holy Spirit upon me today and allow me to deliver the message that you have for us. Please open our minds and our hearts to hear your words and to put them into action. Father, I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, that is such a privilege to be able to pray with you, to speak with our Heavenly Father. And you know, you might not feel it, but when you pray, something happens. Most of the time, I don't feel it when I pray. I don't feel any different. Sometimes the Lord will send me a little consolation. He'll give me some comfort. I'll have a certain strength when I pray, but most of the time I don't. But it's only through faith that we believe that these are not just empty words. They're not good wishes. They're not pleasant thoughts. They're powerful words directed to a Father who loves us and who is all powerful and who wants what's best for us. So I'm going to just encourage you. Whenever you pray, just remind yourself that those prayers, whatever they may be, they're powerful and they will have an impact. You may never see the impact, but it will happen. You know, and that's an important thing to remember. If you're just joining me, my name is Gary Zimek. It's such a pleasure to be with you each week at this time. We wrap up the church year this week. Next week we'll be in the Advent season. We'll beginning a new church here next year. So we're going to talk about the Mass readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King. Big, big day today. I want to just let you know a little bit about Advent, that I do have a new book out. I've been talking about it. It's called Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. The book is available from Ave Maria Press, avemariapress.com. You can also get it from Amazon, EWTN Religious Catalog. You can get it from my website. I'll have a link on there as well. It's a daily devotional. It'll walk you through the Advent season. And just to let you know, we'll talk a little bit about it on the program each week. In addition, I do a daily email reflection. I call it Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If you have not yet signed up for that, you might want to do that, because we'll be digging a little bit deeper into the book each day. That email reflection is totally free of charge. You just go to followingthetruth.com. and submit your email address, and you will be on the list, and you'll get this email once each day. Again, no cost at all. Just go to followingthetruth.com. Also, I am booking. This is kind of an unusual situation. Because of my wife's epilepsy, this happened in June of this year, I had to cancel all of my engagements, my speaking engagements for 2025. And as a result, I have a completely open Lent, where normally I do multiple give up worry for Lent parish missions. I don't have anything on my calendar right now. My wife is doing better, and I found a way to make this work. My family prayed about it, and we came up with a solution. So what I'm going to be doing now is I am willing to go out on the road again when necessary and lead Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions. We're going to condense them so that they will be one-day parish missions. It's a lot more practical for me, might be very more practical for you or your parish as well. If you would like to bring me in as a speaker It doesn't have to be Lent, but Lent's always a busy time, a time when parishes like to bring in speakers. You could just contact me through my website, followingthetruth.com, or email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we'll set something up. I would recommend that you act quickly. I have gotten some interest. I have some talks that are we're currently negotiating some dates right now, but if you're interested, shoot me an email, again, at gary@followingthetruth.com. And we can talk about the details. The missions are going to be one day. I managed to put all the material from three nights of parish missions. We're going to do it in one day now. And I really do think it's doable. I would love to be able to speak at your parish or your conference. So send me an email and we can talk about it. Let's see. All right, let's get on with these mass readings. Good things today. As we always do, we're going to begin with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. And the focus today is on Jesus Christ, a different kind of king, but a king nonetheless. Not a king in the typical way we think of an earthly king, but a king that has ultimate power, who has ultimate power. Let's look at the gospel. It comes from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Now, you know, one of the things to keep in mind here is that Pilate didn't respect Jesus. He did not acknowledge him as any kind of a king. He had somewhat of a curiosity, but Jesus knew that Pilate's heart was not open. Pilate wasn't open to really discovering more and learning more about Jesus and potentially submitting himself to the authority of Jesus as a king. Therefore, Jesus sort of came back at him when he said, "You say I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Now remember, Pilate was known as saying, "What is truth?" Pilate really didn't care about the truth, and Jesus knew that. So Pilate was not open. He didn't belong to the truth. Therefore, he's not going to be willing to listen to Jesus and potentially submit to his kingship. He wasn't interested. And, you know, Jesus made his message clear. He made his message known. Jesus knew that Pilate was not willing to be converted. And Jesus also knew that he had a job to do. But I think the most important thing that we can, in light of this feast of the solemnity of Christ the King, the most important message that we can, at least I think we can get out of this verse, this Bible, gospel passage, is when Jesus said, "My kingdom does not belong to this world." In other words, the heavenly kingdom is often in a conflict with the kings of the earth. The people who don't want to listen to Jesus. The people who seek their pleasure in material things. Who are mainly caring about their own comfort. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, "Unless you become like a little child, you're not going to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven." We've got to be docile. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves, to surrender to Jesus, to follow him. It's not easy, is it? And I think at times, if I'm being honest, I struggle with this at times. You know, I'll follow him to a point, but there's certain times when I don't formally say, "Jesus, I will not follow you here," but I struggle or I panic or I won't be kind to somebody I know I should be kind to. And maybe sort of I will, but I'm not going to go the extra mile for them. I'm not going to pray for them as much as I should. You know, again, I'm not proud to admit this, but it happens sometimes. There's certain times when I feel the Lord might be calling me to do something, but I'm a little scared, so I don't do it. Now, is that really submitting to Jesus as my King? Maybe I'm not as generous with my money as I should be. Maybe I'm afraid to trust Him more fully. All these little ways, you know, sometimes they can be big ways or little ways that we pull away from Jesus as our King. And we turn to another king, maybe some sort of material king, the king of comfort, the king of security. You know, ultimately, we can't get any more secure than placing ourselves under the protection of Jesus. But a lot of times we feel like, oh, I've got to stockpile money. I don't want to take any chances. What if something goes wrong? And I'm not saying we don't save. That's a good thing. Jesus would want us to save. But He would also want us to have some confidence in Him. Or maybe we say, I just can't go through this. I can't deal with this sickness. And we're ignoring the fact that the Lord wants to give us the grace to carry whatever cross He allows us to encounter. Subtle ways sometimes where we reject His kingship. So today, really, that challenge is out there. It's out there for me. It's out there for you. Is Jesus our King? Is He really our King? When we make a decision, do we think about what would please Him first? You know, if we're doing that, then He's definitely our King. But if there's another reason why we do what we do, then maybe He's not fully our King. Again, you know, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I think we all need to think about this as we go into the Advent season, where we have a chance to really make some corrections and make a decision to make room for Jesus, to make Him the King of our lives, to get rid of some things that might be getting in the way. I mean, this is the perfect setup for beginning Advent next week. All right, let's go back to the first reading now, all the way back to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. Obviously, this reading, this from the book of the prophet Daniel, this passage was written many, many years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But what this is a prophecy of the forthcoming Messiah. His kingship shall not be destroyed. It sure looked like it was through crucifixion, but there ain't nothing that's going to take away the kingship of Jesus. And you know, at the time, the people were waiting for the Messiah. Again, this leads into the Advent theme of Advent, the waiting, time of waiting for the coming Messiah. And they knew the qualities that the Messiah would have, that he would be a king. In many cases, they misunderstood exactly what kind of a king he would be. They expected an earthly king. They didn't expect the kind of king that Jesus was. You know, it caught them by surprise. And I think sometimes it catches us by surprise. We might look at our own lives. We might look at the country or the world and wonder, like, wow, is Jesus really the king? This looks crazy. If he's the king, why doesn't he do something about it? And that's because of a lot of reasons. Free will is one of them. And ultimately, power is another reason. Jesus is so powerful, he can bring good out of any evil. He doesn't need to destroy evil in order to bring good out of it. You know, that's power. But we look for a different kind of king. Maybe we have a prayer request and the Lord doesn't answer in the way that we expected or as quickly as we would expect. And then we become discouraged. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That wasn't the way he was supposed to answer. That's exactly what happened to many of the people who were awaiting the Messiah. He doesn't look like a king. This isn't what we expected. Can't be this guy. This guy, the Messiah? But he was. And it's just a reminder for us that the Lord operates in an unconventional manner quite often, in ways that we can't understand because we're not God. I know that's hard to wrap your brain around. It sure is hard for me to wrap my brain around. And that's why it's good to think about this. Whether we can see it or not, Jesus is still on the throne. He's our king. And he calls us to surrender our will to his will. It doesn't take away our free will. It just gives us an invitation to unite our will with his will. Sometimes that's a tricky process. We're going to mess up at times. We'll stumble. But through the grace he gives us, primarily through the sacraments and through prayer, it is possible. And we're going to continue throughout the remainder of our lives on earth to work on this, or to be given an opportunity to work on this. You know, it's up to us, really, whether we do it or not, to make that conscious decision to surrender our lives to Jesus on a daily basis. It's not really a one-and-done thing. It's a daily thing. And to acknowledge him as our king. Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 93, the Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is king, in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord and girt about with strength. And he has made the world firm, not to be moved. Your throne stands firm from of old. From everlasting you are, O Lord. Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. It doesn't matter that he doesn't look like a king. It doesn't matter that he is invisible right now. We can't see Jesus. But our faith, our church, teaches us, and this scripture is an example, that the Lord is king. That's it. That's a fact. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to feel it. It's a fact. Do we want to believe that? Do we live our lives as if he really is our king? The second reading is from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and ruler of the kings of the earth. He's bigger than any earthly king. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming amid the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And you know, that's a statement of fact. He is the king. Many people don't acknowledge him as king. And as I said, in subtle ways, I would say we all slip up at times. And there are times when I do things without consulting Jesus. And not that these things are always wrong. And yes, inconsequential things like what you're going to have for lunch. I mean, we really don't need to consult with the Lord on that. But other decisions that I make, even when it comes to my ministry, the decision to write this or speak here or there, sometimes I forget to ask him, Lord, is this really what you want? I just make an assumption that it's what he wants. Well, it may be, but it's always a good idea to say, Lord, do you really want this? I'm going to give you a little time. You know, we don't always have time to do this, but if you have time, Lord, let me give you a little time. I'm going to pray about this. You let me know. If I'm not supposed to do this, if this is something that really doesn't please you or it's not the best use of my time, please let me know. And by doing that, what we're doing is essentially submitting to him as king. In other words, you're the boss, Lord. You're the boss. I want what you want. And for many of us, that's not easy because I like to be comfortable. I mean, and I'm sure I'm not alone. You may be better at this than I am, but I like to be comfortable. I like my routine. And it's hard for me to accept the Lord changing my plans. And in fact, I've started recently to pray, Lord, change my plans if you want. If my plans don't match up with yours, then change them. And that is not an easy prayer to pray, but it's one that submits our will to the will of the Lord. So if you feel so inclined to do that, I would recommend that you do that. I'm going to keep trying to do it. And doesn't mean you can't ask for what you want, but just it's really imitating Jesus in the way he prayed and the way he prayed on the night before he died in the garden when he said, Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but Father, your will be done. That little clause at the end, your will be done, is an act of submission to God's will. And that's what we're called to do today, to submit to the authority of Jesus in all things. Well, I want to thank you for tuning into the program. And next week, we begin Advent. Remember, you can get my book, Find Peace in Advent. Head on over to followingthetruth.com. If you'd like to make a donation to my ministry, I'd greatly appreciate that as well. As always, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you for the past 30 minutes. And God willing, I look forward to doing it again next week. And I invite you, and I'm going to be doing the same thing, to really consider this question. Is Jesus Christ really my King? And if he is, what can I do to surrender to his kingship? And try to think about that in some way every day. What, there used to be an old slogan, what would Jesus do? When I start to think like that and act upon it, and say, I want to do what Jesus would do in this situation. I'm surrendering to him, and he is becoming my King. So I think it's a challenge for all of us. Thanks again for joining me. I look forward to joining you next time. Let me know if you have any questions. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Hope you have a fantastic week. You're in my prayers. Please keep me in your prayers as well. God bless you. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.